Welcome to Reality of the Rose with your host, Natalie Sprink.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 87 of Reality of the Rose. I am your host, Natalie Sprink. Welcome to another recap episode of Zach's season. We are on episode six, which ironically takes us down to six girls by the end of this episode. I do not have a co-host with me. I'm working on one for next week, but I know for sure that I will have one, possibly two, the week after that. So we shall see. Stay tuned. I don't know offhand. I'm forgetting something, but I don't know offhand any major bachelor tea that is happening right now. So I think that for today, we are just going to get to the recap right away. So, all right, we are in episode six. We start off suddenly in Estonia, and that I remember, I don't think that we were told we were going to Estonia at the end of last episode. If they did, I completely did not remember that. But we're just all of a sudden in Estonia, and we find out it's another beautiful place to fall in love. So I wonder if there's an ugly place to fall in love, like if there's a really disgusting place to fall in love. I wonder if anyone would ever say that, because I'm pretty sure every single city they go to, it's a beautiful place to fall in love. You could argue that any place would be a beautiful place to fall in love, even if it is the most disgusting, deserty place. If you're falling in love, it should be beautiful, correct? But anyway, Estonia is, in fact, a beautiful place to fall in love. So we start off with, well, first we started off in Estonia. The next scene is Jesse and Zach having coffee or something. And he's asking him how he feels to be back in the grind, because as you remember, he had COVID on the last episode and we had the fun-filled virtual rose ceremony. Great stuff. But we learn that Greer is now, first Jesse says that she's feeling a little under the weather now, but then he says that she is asymptomatic, so she's quarantining in her room. He didn't specifically say she now also has COVID, but it's so interesting that she's the one that got COVID and not Gabby, who was the one kissing around on him the day before. Either which way, they mention that Greer is currently quarantining. And that part takes about literally 4.7 seconds, and they breeze right over that piece of information. And we jump right to the next topic, which is Jesse asking Zach about all the girls and where he stands. So this is our classic, typical place in the show where we learn how Zach feels about each girl, prompted by Jesse saying, so where do you stand with all girls? You know, for our benefit, of course. And we basically learn that we have no idea where he stands because he makes it seem like all the girls are awesome. They're all awesome. And it's a word he likes to use a lot, but they're all awesome. And he names slightly different reasons why he has quote unquote connections with each of the girls. A couple of them, and I think Jess is one of them, that he needs to get to know a little deeper. I believe he said that about her and maybe one other girl. But besides that, they either gave him butterflies or they were super funny or he felt super comfortable with them or yada, yada, yada. It was some great thing about each and every one of them. So we don't obviously get any hints. He's not like, well, I'm, you know, right now I'm going to pick Ariel because she's the one I'm going to marry. Besides that, the other girls are fine, but that's where I stand. No, we don't really hear anything like that. So then we are with the girls in their little new place in Estonia that they are staying. And Charity, we get reminded that Charity missed her one-on-one because of the little COVID debacle. So she missed her one-on-one. And so the date card comes and we learn that Charity now gets to have her one-on-one date. So kind enough, you know, Zach was kind enough to go ahead and give her the one-on-one. He comes to get her from their hotel room or wherever they're staying. And while they're sort of sitting there chatting, waiting to leave, Kat pulls him. So instantly, you know, this is going to cause some like friction somewhere. So she pulls him. And remember, we're not like on a group date currently. We're just at like the very beginning where Zach comes and picks up Charity and he pulls Kat. They go into the hall and she tells him she was going stir crazy and just wanted to tell him hi. And they kiss. Of course I do. And so whatever, they come back in, they sit down. It's awkward. It's like super awkward. All the girls are sort of side-eyeing each other and Charity and Zach leave. At which point the girls start to sort of question Kat about what they talked about or why she did that. And Brooklyn, I'm liking her more and more. Not sure if she's meant for Zach, but Brooklyn jumps in and Brooklyn is definitely not scared to say what's on her mind. So she's not becoming the villain because they were making Kat seem like the villain, but Brooklyn, I don't think she won't be the Bachelorette. She's not going to win. Not even sure she's going to make the top four anymore, but she is going to be the one that causes good TV, that gives us good one-liners and probably will be quite entertaining on Paradise. But she tells Kat that she's classless, and the whole time that Kat is trying to give excuses as to why she pulled Zach and why she has every right to pull him, Brooklyn is giving us great face play. She's got a lot of good eye rolls in there. She's got a lot of good like mouth twitches and shakes of the head. Like she is definitely expressing herself through her facial actions. So then we go to the commercial. When we come back, we get Charity and Zach's one-on-one. And they just so classically go on a horse and carriage ride. And Charity tells Zach it's her dream. Okay. It's a very specific dream, but so apparently her dreams come true. She gets to go on her horse and carriage ride. But I thought it was funny. I don't know if anybody else noticed this, but when we were on the carriage ride, they were on a cobblestone street. And so obviously it's, you know, cobblestone. So it's like bumpy. And so they were talking and their voices were like shaking with the bump. So it was kind of like, let's see if I can do that. Like, so what do you think of this ride? Oh, this is a really good ride. I thought it's a lot of fun. How are you today? I'm doing really good. If you would see me doing this right now, you would get a good laugh because of how I'm making myself shake my voice. But did you notice that? I'm dizzy. Whoa, hello. Anyway, it was funny. I had to laugh at that. So then they just so happen upon this crowd that's like cheering this strange race going on. And we learn that it is a wife carrying race. And I'm going to give you three guesses as to what happens next, but the first two don't count. You win. Yes, you're right. Zach and Charity take part in the wife carrying race. Of course they do. So, you know, they make it appear like they're just standing on the sidelines watching and just, oh, guess what? The little host guy walks up to them and Charity's like, yeah, I'll do it. That's so shocking. I would have never guessed that. I thought they were just there to watch the race, but no, they're going to take part in it. Classic. So I'll tell you what though, this, I would not be a race I would want to do because I think I would actually be scared to death of being dropped on my head for real. Like, and also bounced around like that. I'm pretty sure if she would talk, she would really be like, Zach, please stop. I'm going to die. He had to pick her up with hit. Like, so basically her head was in his ass or like face to face with his ass because he picked her up. Like they're facing each other. He went up underneath her legs, lifted her up. So he's hanging on to her legs, her feet are in front of him. And then she's hanging down his backside with her head down and her face right in his ass. So and they race like another couple that's doing this. And I'm telling you, Zach meant business on this race. He was like not going to lose. And he did not care how much he shook the crap out of Charity's brains, but he was not going to lose. I felt sorry for her because she was just balancing up and down, upside down, right by his ass. Like, what? So anyway, he's like jumping over these little like fence things and like running as fast as he possibly could. And he won. So I hope it was worth the headache and the head rush that she got because of this stupid race. But the best part was they did this real quick like shot of Jesse standing in the crowd, and he put like, it looked like he was maybe drinking a beer in like a plastic cup, and he put the cup in his mouth to hold it so he could clap. And like, it was literally for like a second that they showed him, but it was pretty funny. Like that, I'll give him credit. Like, stick shit in there like all the time. That I enjoy. It's like a Where's Waldo thing. Like, oop, there's Jesse for a second. Did you see him clapping with his beer in his mouth? So then we go back to the hotel and we have this little forced girl talk, because we do know that this is a fact, because we've heard it from people that are actually on the show, that you have these forced girl talks where they're like two girls or four girls or however many girls sitting on couches talking about some topic that, you know, is of controversy or worry or a villain or whatever the case may be. And it's where the producers will go, okay, now you guys go over on this little couch, and why don't you go ahead and just have a totally natural conversation about Kat and Charity and Kat pulling Zach during Charity's date. Okay. So then that's what they do. Then they go on that couch and then they just like naturally start this conversation. So we first have a conversation between Brooklyn and Katie about the whole thing. And Brooklyn's sort of like going off on Kat again. And Katie's not disagreeing. But then they show Kat and Ariel talking about the same thing. But I thought it was quite funny because Ariel was actually sort of calling her out on her crap. I mean, she was more agreeing with Brooklyn. And when Kat was trying to excuse the reasons why she was doing it, Ariel was not really letting her get by with it and saying like, no, like it was just plain rude. So yeah. Then we go back to Charity and Zach, and they had another kind of funny scene where they like go into this little, I don't even know what the hell it was, but some little shop where they took some shot of something out of a, like a coffee cup, but the guy in the coffee cup made them like squat down and put one leg like over the other and do the shot. And apparently it was completely disgusting because they both could barely get it down and like grossed out, and like, anyway, apparently it was a disgusting drink, and they did not hide the fact that it was a disgusting drink. Then they go out in this little courtyard and they kiss, and yeah, we have a commercial. So we come back again, segment three, and now we are having girl talk time with Jess and Gabby. And we hear Jess, which we already saw in the previews, that this whole like her being caught up in like not getting a one-on-one was going to be a big deal. So we get the first showing of Jess talking about her one-on-one and how she is the only one that hasn't gotten one yet. Well, at this point, she's not the only one that hasn't gotten one yet, but that's before we know what's already going to happen. So then we're at the nighttime portion with Charity, and she prepares to give her PTC. She's like saying, you know, I'm going to open up to Zach tonight and, you know, tell him about my past. And okay, so what her story going to be? Basically, she had a prior relationship that was emotionally abusive, and she was cheated on and quite manipulated in this relationship. So throughout her little PTC, she cries quite a bit. We get Zach like, you know, being empathetic and asking her a few questions and telling her he's sorry, but yet he makes sure to tell her that she's pretty awesome. And I put that in quotes in my notes, but it's literally what he said. You're pretty awesome. So I'm sure that made her feel like way better, since she now knows that she's pretty awesome. And he ITMs like this really, these really deep thoughts about her. And specifically, he says he feels good with her. So there you go. Like, how can you feel better, you know, about a guy? First he says you're pretty awesome, and then he says he feels good with her. So way to get deep there, Zach, and way to really express yourself and be specific about how you feel about Charity. It's great that you feel good about her. But she gets rewarded with the rose, and then we cut back to the girls again, and we are on, we get the group date card. Comes in, Gabby reads out the names, and obviously anymore, you don't really care who's on the group date. It's everyone's looking for whose name is not called, because that means that girl gets the next one-on-one, obviously. Well, that girl is Ariel, so she's going to get the second one-on-one, and guess who cries? Yes. I want you to guess. You guessed correctly. It is Jess that cries, because she is going to be the only one that doesn't get a one-on-one. Next segment. She is, let's see, where are we at? Oh, we get the girls talking again about the Cat and Charity thing. It really is like in this season that we are getting very limited drama, and the little tiny bits and pieces of drama that we get are like, I'm sorry, pausing. It's making me have a thought, but it's like they are really reaching. And they're really reaching for the things that they can make some kind of a storyline about each week. And like the two things this week were Kat pulling Zach from Charity, and then Jess was like one-on-one obsession. But I was just thinking, what I was thinking about was, you know, I wonder, it's almost like they felt like they had to create this. And, you know, it also is very risky for Kat to do what she did. And I don't care who you are. That would be more something like Shanae would have done during Clayton season, where she would do it just to kind of be a bitch. But like, it seems like a very risky move for a girl to just pull the lead when he's about getting ready to walk out the door for a one-on-one. It seems really ballsy, and it seems really aggressive. And up until now, Kat has not given off that personality whatsoever. Or, you know, at least we've not seen that side of her. So it was surprising to me that any of these girls would have the balls, so to speak, to do that. So makes me wonder whether there wasn't a producer there somewhere that said to Kat, like, picked a girl. Maybe this is what it is. Maybe Zach, because they always try to protect the winner. And I don't think that they would do this and allow a winner to do this particular stunt. So maybe the producers know that Zach likes her, but she's not going to end up winning the ring. So maybe one of the producers went to Kat and said, you know what? Wouldn't you love to, like, just pull him real quick, because you guys haven't seen him for a week. And that she was like, oh, I would love that. And they're like, well, I mean, you could probably do that real quick whenever Charity walks in. I mean, you know, maybe some girls might upset some of the girls, but at least you'll get time with Zach. And she's like, I don't know. And they're like, I mean, it's up to you, but like, why not? At least you get a little bit of time with, maybe he'll even appreciate that you're doing it. And sure enough, because, you know, they are sort of manipulated and molded by those producers, and they're just stuck in this little bubble, and they feel like these producers are the best friends. They're like, God, that's not a bad idea. She wouldn't tell me to do that if that's a bad idea. So she does it. And then we get her being in some drama. We get Brooklyn sort of fighting her on it. And there you go. That's what happened. I'm sure that's what happened. So for sure, Kat's not going to win. She may go to the final four, but she's definitely not going to win, because I don't think they would do this to the winner. And I feel like at this point, Zach has like probably his top two for sure, and that the producers know who that is. So this might not even be top two. So anyway, I digress. Back to Brooklyn voicing this. So she's voicing her annoyance with Kat again, and they sort of get into it. And she makes this funny comment that something about what's her name? Kat said, but Brooklyn says, well, if the shoe fits, lace that bitch up. lace that bitch up. I can't do the accent, but that's what she says. And I thought that was a good one. I've never heard that before. Good job, Brooklyn. Then we get the group date and we get the girls running to Zach. Well, they didn't really run. They kind of jogged and a few walked kind of fast. But I think Allie, she was like, there's not been many hooju's done on this show so far. And so she tried to do a hooju. Holy crap, did she fail? This was probably one of the worst hooju's ever. It was bad. Like, she ran, but didn't run nearly fast enough. She did not have a good takeoff. And when she grabbed him, you know, your legs are supposed to be wrapped around his waist, like way above his hips. And I'm pretty sure her legs wrapped around his upper thigh pretty much. And I feel like he almost had to pick her up off the ground because she made absolutely horrible contact. And wow, it was a bad hooju, but okay. I guess she tried. None of the other girls, after that, they probably like, hell no, I am not doing that. So they have a group date with a witch, and the witch has started a fire and has this little kettle or something over the fire. And I wish they would have shown more. Again, the tag was really funny because they showed the girls screaming into the fire and they each had to scream something like that they loved. And, you know, like Zach said, I love Twix. It's a pretty good one, Zach. One of them said, I love love. One of them said, I love my mom. One of them said, I love, I forget what else. And then Jess says she loves Taylor Swift. And like, it was like funny because then there was like this pop in the fire. And I don't know, but that's funny. Why don't they just show that in the regular part of the show? Why is that at the very end? That's just, I don't understand it. Either which way, they have this group date with the witch. They start by doing, apparently, some witch form or ring around the rosy around the fire. That's what it looked like to me. Then they have this little exercise that they have to do where they hold a candle between, like, Zach and each girl held a candle between them and they had to look through the flame at each other's eyes. And during this segment, they did close-ups so freaking close on these girls' eyes that it made me uncomfortable. I was not sure why I get it. You're making eye contact with it, but like, let's show them making eye contact. I don't need to literally see like the tear ducts in their freaking eyes. I mean, it's okay. So Jess in this meantime is constantly ITMing about how insecure she's feeling and not confident at all. And she just hates the way she feels, but it's the way she feels. And she hasn't got one-on-one. She hasn't got one-on-one, blah, 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 blah. And it was her turn to do the fire thing. And wouldn't you know it, while they're doing their staring thing, the candle goes out. So, oh my God. Then she started crying again. Cause I guess like this is like this witch, terrible witch sign that, you know, you're not going to get proposed to by the bachelor. I don't know. I guess some weird witch sign like that. So we get her crying again and talking about her lack of connection. So we cut to commercial with that. Let's see, where are we at? Okay. So then is a nighttime portion of the group date, and Jess is talking to the girls again about her anxiety about not getting a one-on-one. And then we get really, we at this point, we're just getting Zach talking with each of the girls and like looking as if he's like having a connection again, in quotes, making a connection with each girl. He's having fun with each girl. And but first we have Katie, and I just noticed in this conversation, and I'm not saying I don't use the word like a lot, but she was using the word like almost distractingly. She was like using it like every other like word, you know, like. And she says to him that he seems like an amazing guy. Where have you been all my life? I never thought I'd feel this way. I never thought I'd feel this way so soon. She ITMs, you know, here we go with all of that basic bachelor talk. Like, again, how deep? She says, you're an amazing guy. Where have you been all my life? We are really getting to know each other by telling that kind of stuff to each other, aren't we? Like, man, I'm getting to know you deeply by saying that. Then Zach tells Gabby she's one of his strongest connections and she shouldn't worry. So that tells me, like, he has said that to her a couple times. So I am certain that that means Gabby's going to the Final Four. Okay. And I think that Gabby might be our bachelorette because, or the ring winner, because she is not getting any kind of a drama queen, nothing. She seems protected somewhat. But she's getting a lot of screen time also, which is why I think maybe she'll be the bachelorette. So then Zach does his thing again where he announces he's going to kiss someone when he wants to kiss them. So he announces to Gabby that he wants to kiss her. And so he does. Then Gabby gets real deep with her articulation about her feelings for him. And she calls him a gem because those are words that your grandma says. Then they have, I don't know. It seems like they are doing Jess wrong here. And I'm sure she obviously is talking about this one-on-one thing a lot, but it makes me wonder how much she actually said that in the course of like the 24-hour period. And I feel like even if she said it 6 or 8 times, they literally took every single time and put it in the edit just to make sure that we are, it's driven home that she's saying it what makes us feel like every 3 seconds. Because every time she's talking to somebody, she's like, well, you know, I'm really insecure because I haven't got the one-on-one. And because, you know, I'm the only one. I'm the last one. I'm the only one that hasn't gotten a one-on-one. And she like keeps talking about it over and over. So I feel like, again, here they're pulling the storyline because they're like they are being given nothing else by these girls really to focus on. And so they need something. So they're using this. So we see her saying this one more time to somebody else. And then they have Zach come to steal Jess. When we come back from commercial, they are talking. And this was a really confusing conversation to me because it started off with, and Zach actually said it a couple times where he said that he had a really strong connection with her from the moment she stepped out of the limo. And that I can't exactly verbalize how he said it. Or, I mean, I can't exactly remember if he used those words, like we had a really strong connection. Let me see. Did I make a note about that? And let's see, she says she knows. Well, anyway, I'll get there. But Zach asks her how she's feeling. And she says she knows what she signs up for, but it's a lot to see the other girls having connections and her feeling like maybe she's not. And then she says something about being like the last one. And he's like, you're not the last one. And then he says he never wanted to make her feel like she can only be vulnerable on one-on-ones because she said something to him about not getting a one-on-one. And when she says that, did you ever notice that Zach has this like way of making the looks he gives be kind of like a sarcastic, frustrated, bit of a condescending look. Like when he kind of was like an asshole to Greer on the last show during her, when she was trying to like sympathize with him, he did this a lot, but he did this to Jess, I thought, where he kind of like cocks his head and like makes his eyes be like, what? Like, I don't think so. Like one of those looks. It's hard to explain a look on a podcast as you can't see my face. But he like cocks his head and makes his eyes like go up and go like, what? Like, I don't think so. That's the best way I know how to explain it. But he did that like twice to her. And I know it's editing. And they could have been taking that look from something completely not even closely related to what they were talking about. But nevertheless, that's what we saw. And he was telling her how confident he felt about them at the beginning of this conversation. But then she keeps bringing up this one-on-one, and that seems to piss him off because he says to her, like, it's not about the one-on-one, but I'm not quite sure that I completely agree with that because I get it's not about the one-on-one, but obviously what she's trying to say is on a one-on-one is when we get to know each other, when we would get to know each other like the best because we have an entire day and night together. versus just like whatever it is when they get to have these talks, 10 minutes, an hour, maybe at the most. So like, obviously that's what she's saying, but he's trying to say that she can even be vulnerable with him without a one-on-one. But I don't think in the history of The Bachelor, The Bachelor's ever picked the girl who didn't get a one-on-one, like literally never has picked it. So it was a bit annoying to me that he got so frustrated with her because, I mean, I know they weren't going to end up together. Sorry, got cut off. But anyway, I know they weren't going to end up together anyway. And so it's just a way to get her gone. Like, I get that. But it seemed like a little bit douchey with how annoyed he seemed to kind of get with her for talking about the one-on-ones, because I think he knows what she meant. I mean, I think everyone knew what she meant by it. Maybe she was being kind of babyish and taking it too far and being overdramatic about it. Sure, I get that. But I still think that he should have known what she was saying, because obviously, even if he's saying that he felt confident about them, but that's where I was also confused, because he started off the conversation where he said that I believe twice that he has felt confident about them and that he had felt like he connected with her from the minute she got out of the limo. But then when she mentions one-on-one one too many times, he suddenly says he's not feeling that confident. It was like literally a switch flipped. And he was like, I was confident in you, but now I'm not confident anymore because you mentioned one-on-one one too many times. So I'm just not confident anymore. And she tells him, she kept saying like how she's so confused. And then you can almost tell instantly that he just like shuts down and is like, I'm not dealing with this. A girl cannot be dramatic whatsoever and he will kick them to the curb. So I'm a little worried about any relationship he's going to be in, because at some point in time, especially even once a month, if you know what I mean, a girl's going to get a little bit over dramatic. And if he's going to like be not tolerable of any drama, and I'm like phrasing that maybe extremely because it might not be drama, but moody, whatever the case may be. If he's not going to put up with that, then he's going to be in for trouble because nothing will last. He's not going to get no drama from a girl. So, but again, I get that it was probably just really this confidence he had in them, supposedly, that he was saying the beginning of the conversation was just his way of making her feel good in the moment, because it's a show and he has to either keep her around or not. And it was just like his way of perpetuating it. So anyway, he just, you know, he says he's not the confident, and then he's just looking at her. She's crying and she's trying to articulate how she's feeling. And he just stares at her with what seems like no emotion whatsoever. And when he says he's just not that confident in her anymore, and he just doesn't think it's there, he doesn't feel it, she gets a bit annoyed or pissed or upset or frustrated, whatever the case may be, and says she's not going to beg for him. And she has said she was not going to do that and she's not going to. So she just gets up, they both get up and they walk out. He walks her out and he ITMs. It was the last thing she expected. She gets in the Suburban or whatever and drives off, and she's crying in there, and she's just kept saying she's so confused. And then we see Zach like acting like he's crying, but totally 1000% believe that was a forced cry encouraged by the producers, or he just knew that he had to look upset when she was leaving. But I don't think that he was really all that upset. He had to act upset because he can't just be like, oh, well, don't care, because we're this far in the process. So he did pretty good. I think I even saw a few tears, but did not, like, he didn't seem upset at all during the conversation. He actually seemed like annoyed. So he goes back then. He explains to the other girls left on the group date that, you know, there was a disconnect between them and he sent her home, but it was like a mutual thing. She left of her own accord as well and said he hopes that they understand, but he's not giving out a rose tonight. And so he doesn't give the rose out. The girls look at each other, and that's it for the segment. So then we are segment 7, and it's Ariel's one-on-one date, and they go to a nudist sauna. Now, I really like Ariel after this date. I've always liked her. And actually, if you will remember, which you probably don't, but I went back to my notes and I have had Ariel in my top 4 from the very beginning. So I'm definitely keeping her in my top 4, especially after this date. I just really like her. She is so chill. She's just even keeled and she seems super classy to me, but she's got this sort of dry, very calm sense of humor. And I love that sense of humor. And she just, I don't know. I liked her. I liked how she used her humor. It wasn't corny, giggly humor. It was like true humor where she showed wit. And I liked her a lot. So like they do these little funny things, how whatever they had to like lay down and concentrate and rub sage or some damn thing on each other. I don't know, whatever it was. And then they go into the sauna and an actual nude couple comes in and they have this very awkward like conversation with them. And the couple asks them if they know about the hot tub. And they're like, oh no, I think we'll go do that, because they are wearing swimming suits. It's a nudist sauna, but they aren't nude. So they get to wear like swimming suits. Okay. So then they go find the hot tub, they get in, they have champagne. And, again, they go with these deep conversations where he says he can feel like he can be himself and comfortable with her. I wish they would articulate like why, like, I mean, I guess sometimes those are just feelings you have, but either way, but then the nude couple then comes into the hot tub and I wish they would have left this part out, because it's just so weird and awkward, because they get into the hot tub and they like start making out. And this couple is just not a couple. No, it's not a couple. Let's just say it's not a couple you want to watch make out. It's just not. And I don't know how they pick this couple, who this couple is. I don't think it matters, but I kind of wish I knew, because, it was just so weird and awkward. And I felt very sorry for Zach and Ariel for having to sort of take part in the scene, because, ugh. Okay, but thank God then it was over. We'll cut to segment 8, and Zach ITMs that sort of implied, not sort of, did imply that Ariel might be what Catherine was for Sean, because Sean talked about how he didn't know Catherine was his wife from the very beginning, and that it was almost like whatever through the season, she just popped out and he was like, wow, I did not expect to fall for Catherine, but I did. And that's who I'm going to marry. And so he's implying that that's maybe kind of how Ariel is for him. Like he didn't really think of her maybe as the winner, but now is. He did not use those words. So they're at their nighttime portion. And again, he's telling her all these like classic bachelor things. I want to get to know you for you and feel even more confident in us. Okay. So like, just by saying the words, I want to get to know you for you, is that the end of it then? That's just part of the conversation. Like, how about if we get to actually hear you knowing her for her? Like, let's hear some things about her that we can learn about her. She says she's had a lot of heartbreak and has a fear of losing herself. I guess this was her PTC. This is about as deep as she went with that. But she's also at heartbreak. So heartbreak and divorce seem to be like the go-to PTCs for people that didn't have really something really traumatic happen in their life. So this was hers. And he says to her, I care about you and what you bring to the table, and I'm more than excited as to what I see in you. Great. All right. Then they both kind of say they feel giddy about each other. So we get that, like, really getting to know each other crap. And then he says she might be the best surprise yet. And he gives her the rose. Cut to segment 9. And it's a cocktail party before the rose ceremony. And he has talks with all the women here. Again, seemingly has, like, connections with all of them. Is having a great time with all of them. And here's where we have to get a little bit of drama before the rose ceremony. And we get Charity that pulled Kat. She's like, can I steal you for a second? Great line. But Charity pulls Kat for them to go talk. And this part too was weird and felt really produced. Because, like, good for Charity for just, like, going to want to, like, talk to Kat about this just on their own. So they went and did that by a bar or something. And Brooklyn decides she wants to interrupt their talk. And I really feel like that was also pushed by the producers just to make some drama. And because it would be too easy for Charity and Kat to just work it out. So they have to make Brooklyn go in there. And that also makes Brooklyn look like this kind of petty, I don't know, immature a little bit kind of person. And I just feel like, and I know she's young, but I don't know. I like her and I don't know that she's petty. She seems to, like, say what she thinks, but I really think she was pushed by a producer to coax her into going over there. Why don't you go over there and see what they're talking about? Cause I bet that Kat's really trying to, you know, like, pull the wool over to Charity's eyes, something like that. So she goes over there. As soon as Brooklyn gets over there, the girls were like, hey, and Kat gets pissed off and she walks off. And she walks off to, like, the other girls, whoever else was left, Ariel and Gabby, I think. And they weren't really hearing it. So she walks off again and she goes and talks to a producer, obviously, because they weren't showing who she was talking to. Then Zach comes to get her and Zach asks her if he said he detected, a little disconnect with her at the witch date. And she was like, with me? And he was like, yeah. Like, it just felt like, was there something going on? Was there, like, I don't know. I felt like just there was some kind of disconnect there, which is so vague. And all of this just seemed out of the blue and it seemed really forced. This whole storyline seems so forced to me. Because what does he mean by that? And he wasn't specific. And was it because of Brooklyn or I don't know. But, like, again, did the producers tell him? I don't know what happened, but it all just didn't seem natural to me. But then, of course, Kat gets worried. And I think it's because you have to have somebody at the end where you don't know if they're going to be sent home or not. And it's between that person and another person. And there was really no other reason to do that with any other two people. So they forced this drama. So she's all worried about, like, the fact that he thought that they had a disconnect. And so she's kind of ITMing about being worried about that. And Jesse comes in with some really, really weak champagne glass tings and announces that it's time for the rose ceremony. So we are in the last segment and there are 4 roses. 2 girls have gotten roses already, Charity and Ariel. And we have 4 roses for 5 girls left. And I made this in my notes that I'm pretty sure that Allie will be going home. So let's find out. Drum roll, please. First rose goes to Gabby, 2nd to Katie, 3rd to Brooklyn, 4th to Kat. So yes, Allie goes home. This is not a real shocker. So that is today's episode. So we now have the top 6. And our top 6 are Ariel, Kat, Katie, Gabby, Brooklyn, and Charity. Now, I mean, I know this isn't a real stretch, but that is who I picked last week for the top 6. I mean, I know that only, like, 2 went home, Jess and Allie, and Greer. Greer's still there, I guess. And we find out on the previews that she's going to come back. So I don't know. I'm wondering if she's going to come back, but I'm wondering if he's not just going to send her home because she's definitely not going much further. So that is going to be my prediction for that. But this is who I think the top 4 is going to be. I think the top 4 is going to be Ariel, Kat, Katie, and Gabby. And then Brooklyn and Charity will, one of the two will go home next week or both. I'm not sure how many weeks we have left. I'm thinking the top two is going to be, golly dang, I think the top three is going to be Ariel, Katie, and Gabby. That's what I think. Ariel, Katie, and Gabby. And Kat will have a hometown though. I think the winner might be Ariel. I really do. I think it might be Ariel. So yeah, we had the recap. That's it. It was not a bad show. It wasn't bad. It was forced. It seems like forced drama because I have to have something, but definitely Zach is sticking with his, I ain't putting up with any drama. Although, like I said earlier, he better watch it because he's not going to get a girl that's not ever going to show him any moodiness, drama, whatever. So we shall see what the next few weeks bring. We have Greer coming back next week and I don't know, some more tears, some more whatever, some more dates, some more kissing, and some more of the same. As I said, I'm going to try and find someone to co-host with me next week. I don't have that many people that I know and I'm close with that watch The Bachelor. So I have to like figure out, or either that or I have to have someone recap with me that doesn't care about knowing about The Bachelor, but just will watch an episode and judge based on one episode of watching it. But as I usually ask, if y'all can go to give me a 5-star review, I really, really, really appreciate it. If you will please, 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 a 5-star rating, sorry. But also if you'll give me a review and just a little sentence about how or why you like the podcast or what you might like to see or anything at all, really helps me out a lot. Subscribe, follow, tell a friend about it, whatever you would do. I so much appreciate it. So as usual, I am going to end the episode with a Bible verse. And this week's Bible verse is 2 Corinthians 4 verses 8 and 9. And it is, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. I hope everybody has a great rest of the week. And I will talk to you again next week. Bye.